This may prove to be a historic document. Who would have believed, only a few years ago, that a congressional committee would have issued such a statement? As directed, NASA set up the International Near-Earth Object Detection Workshop, which held several meetings in 1991. The results were summarized in a report prepared by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena. The Space Guard Survey, January 25, 1992. The opening paragraph of its final chapter reads, "Concern over the cosmic impact hazard motivated the U.S. Congress to request that NASA conduct a workshop to study ways to achieve a substantial acceleration in the discovery rate for near-Earth asteroids. This report outlines an international survey network of ground-based telescopes that could increase the monthly discovery rate of such asteroids from a few to as many as 1,000. Such a program would reduce the time scale required for a nearly complete census of large Earth-crossing asteroids from several centuries, at the current discovery rate, to about 25 years. We call this proposed survey program the Space Guard Survey, borrowing the name from the similar project suggested by science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke nearly 20 years ago in his novel Rendezvous with Rama. The Hammer of God could not possibly have been written without the masses of information contained in the Space Guard Survey. But the direct inspiration for the novel came from a quite different and very unexpected source. In May 1992, I was flattered to receive a letter from Steve Kep, senior editor of Time magazine, asking me to write a 4,000-word story that would give readers a snapshot of life on Earth in the next millennium. He added engagingly, "I believe it would be the first time that our magazine has ever published fiction, intentionally at least." As it turned out, this information was not quite accurate. Time's editors later informed me, rather apologetically, that mine was not the first fiction they had ever commissioned. Back in 1969, they had published a story by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I am honored to follow in such distinguished footsteps. Time's suggestion was, needless to say, an offer I couldn't refuse. It presented an interesting challenge, and I do not recall a delay of more than 5 milliseconds before I realized that the perfect subject was already at hand. More than that, it was my duty to show what could be done about the asteroid menace. By creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, I might even save the world, though I'd never know. So I wrote The Hammer of God and rushed it off to Time, where Steve Kep justified his existence by making some very shrewd editorial suggestions, 90% of which I accepted with fairly good grace. It appeared in the special issue of the magazine Beyond the Year 2000, published in late September and dated Fall 1992, volume 140, number 27. Before then, however, I had gone to England for the slightly premature celebrations of my 75th birthday. After 3 decades of living less than 1,000 kilometers from the equator, nothing will get me to the UK in December. Among the participants in the program that my brother Fred had arranged in my hometown, Minehead, was one of the members of the Space Guard Survey, Dr. Duncan Steele. He had come all the way around the world from the Anglo-Australian Observatory in New South Wales to present a paper showing, with some awesome color slides, what might happen in the event of a major impact. It was probably around this time that I accepted the fact that Hammer was really a compressed novel, and that I had no alternative but to decompress it. As I had 6 other books and several dozen TV programs in orbit, I was reluctant to bite this particular bullet, but eventually decided to cooperate with the inevitable. The first draft was almost complete when I received a letter from Dr. Steele with some startling news. "Until last Thursday, if anyone had asked me when an asteroid or comet was going to collide with the Earth, I could have put my hand on my heart and told them that none of the currently known objects is going to hit our planet in the foreseeable future, meaning a century or two. This is no longer the case.